Now we're going to go into the word. I want us, we're going to lead this prayer. We're going to, all of us, we're going to pray this prayer for 3 to 4 minutes. You want to pray this prayer. You want to say, Lord, send me my word today.
Yes.
Amen. I came for a word. I've worshipped you. I've praised you. I've thanked you. Now give me your word for me in this season.
Yes.
Lord, send me your word today and this weekend that will lighten nations. Send me your word today. Send me your word today. Pastor Michael, you want to come and lead the prayer? Send me your word today that will lighten nations. Send me your word today. Everybody say, send me your word today that will lighten nations. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 8, he said, he sent a word to Jacob, one word, and it lighted the whole nation. So you're going to take this prayer personal. Send me your word today that will lighten nations. Lift your voice and pray.
Lift up your voice in prayer. Lebara sondo di berekiri ne. Lepara bayara ba. Lord, send me a word. Send me a word, Lord, that it will lighten up this nation, lighten up the nations of the world. Labare serebe koyendiri ne. On this day that you have made, Lord, and set aside. Malebe sendiri ne. Malebe soto libiara ba. Send me a word, O Lord. Send me a word that I can take to the nations and bring life unto the world. Just as you sent your son to die for us, and he was a beacon of light and hope unto the world, let the word come forth today and be a light unto my life, a light unto our lives, a light into our nation. Oh Lord, send the word. Send the word. Send the word. We are available, Lord. We open our hearts, Lord, to receive the word you have for us tonight. And this word shall be a light unto our community, our nation, the nations, our families. Let this light shine brighter and brighter and brighter. We lift up our voices in prayer. We cry out, O Lord. We cry out, O Lord. We are thankful, Lord. We are thankful, Lord. We are thankful, Lord.
In Jesus' name, say, Father, thank you for hearing my prayer and answering my prayer. I will receive my personal word that will lighten nations. That will lighten nations in Jesus' name. Say a big amen. You may be seated. Welcome your neighbor to your left and your right and tell them, Happy Good Friday. Happy Good Friday. Happy Good Friday. Glory to Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you take your Bibles, your notepads, your notebooks. What season is this? And what is it all about? Is it just a day off, or it has got greater significance? So I'm speaking on the subject before and after the cross. Before and after the cross. Before the cross. And after the cross. what is the difference between before the cross and after the cross? What's the difference before the cross and after the cross? The cross of Christ is the defining line of the whole message of the New Testament. The cross of Christ is the defining line of the whole message. The New Testament is void without the cross. The cross is not just something that some people put on as a chain on their neck. It's got greater significance. And when you understand something, you can maximize its purpose. Are you understanding? So if you take the cross of Jesus from the New Testament, all you have are laws. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt not do that. If you take the cross from the New Testament, all you have are laws. And you discover from the message that the Israelites were not able to obey the law. That's why God had to send Jesus to be a mediator of a better covenant that will enable us to be able to do the word. He says our righteousness was as what? As filthy rags. There's just no way we could match up with the righteousness of God. So the coming of Jesus made all the difference. So everybody say, the cross of Christ is the defining line of the whole message of the New Testament. See, if you take out the cross of Jesus from the New Testament, all you have are just laws. Many, many laws which Israel could not obey. Before we got saved, there are many laws we try to obey. When I used to go into my, should I tell you some of my, to go into my mother's fridge. Where's hope I go into my mother's fridge and then get some meat. Or I'll go to the cupboard and take some garri and then steal some sugar and make. So my mother has prepared garri and sugar for the family. She knows the quantity, but we used to find a way. Now don't look at me that way. You, all of you here, I've been shown what you used to hide in the corner and steal. And when they come, you say it's somebody else. We're still garri and sugar. Now we tried not, thou shalt not steal, we're stealing. Thou shalt not covet what belongs to somebody, we're coveting. I mean, we tried everything, but we couldn't obey the law. Only Jesus' mediation and the cross. He became a substitute for us. The penalty we should have paid, he became our substitute to enable us to be able to do what we couldn't do. That's why you have Paul say things like, the things I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the things I don't want to do is what I find myself doing. And he says, oh, wretched man. That means I need more Jesus every day. Because obeying the things I want to do, things I want to obey, obeying the law without Jesus is impossible. Amen. So the cross is what made all the difference. Did I hear? Amen. So, before and after the cross. Now, number one. So let's look at the difference. Number one, you can write the headlines. In the Old Testament, before the cross, they cried for a mediator, a peacemaker, a game changer, an advocate. They wanted to find a mediator between God and man. Isaiah cried for it. David cried for it. Job cried for it. Almost all the patriarchs cried for it. Nothing was working. So all of them were looked. Today we are celebrating Easter and Good Friday 2,000 years ago. All these things that happened. Job, Abraham, Isaac, Isaiah, all these people in their day looked forward to what we are enjoying. Look forward to a day when Jesus, because Jesus did not exist in the days of Abraham, Isaiah, they prophesied about him. So all of them were looking for a mediator. Like when you have a case, you need a mediator, a lawyer. Did I hear amen? Look at Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9. This Job is expressing his is crying out and expressing what the shortfall is. Job 9:32-33. Job 9, the New Century Version says, please listen to Job. Job 9:32-33 says, God is not human like me, so I cannot answer him. We cannot meet each other in court. I wish there were someone to make peace between us, someone to decide our case. You know, in this day in which you live, when you go through some stuff, Jesus is the one, when the enemy says, I'm going to get you, Jesus is the one who comes as a mediator to stand and say, leave him alone. I died for him. I shed my blood. So leave him. Let him go. In Job's day, he said, God is not human like me, so I cannot answer him. Job went through many things. He couldn't answer God. He couldn't explain what was happening. He couldn't ask questions. He said, God is not human like me, so I cannot even answer him. We cannot meet each other. I cannot meet God in court. I wish there were someone to make peace between us, someone to decide our case. Like if you have an immigration situation or a court case, you need somebody to help you to win that case. That's what Job was crying out for. And guess what? Before the cross, Job prayed this prayer. Now listen to the good news after the cross. Say, I need to hear what happened after the cross. Job cried, I don't have anybody to help me solve my case. Now, after the cross, Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 5 to 6. So you are going to be seeing, the message is to help you appreciate the cross, what Jesus has done, and how to tap into the benefits. Is amen there? After the cross, listen to what Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5. Let's read it together. Remember, Job said, I have nobody to help me solve my case, right? Do you remember that? I have no mediator. Now, after the cross, listen to Paul. Let's read, go. For there is what? One God and what? One mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. The dilemma of Job and the prophets is being answered by Jesus. There is one God and one middleman, mediator, who can what? Bring us back together. Bring God and man back together. Is that good news or is that good news? I said, is that good news or is that good news? Tell your neighbor, when I have a case, Jesus is my mediator. Shout a better amen. Number two, unlike before the cross, after the cross, we now have a new testament. New will, write it down. Before the cross, we didn't have a new will, new inheritance. Before the cross, we didn't have a new will, we had the Old Testament made up of laws. But in the New Testament, we have new will. Jesus died and left us a will, which are his promises in the scripture. Are you there? A New Testament, Jesus left us, write this down, new will. Are you writing? New will. New inheritance. Better covenant. You must know what belongs to you from the cross so you can appropriate it in your life. New will, new inheritance. You have an inheritance in Christ. He secured you, for you and I, an inheritance. Amen. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, he said, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a new covenant established on better promises. Better promises. Better promises. New will, new inheritance, new better covenant established on what? Better promises. Better promises than before. Better promises. He established a new will so the will can become yours. God had a will for us, but Jesus had to die for us to obtain that will. When somebody has something for you, except they distribute it before they die, you have to wait for them to die, and then they'll read the will, then you get the thing. Jesus had an inheritance and certain promises for us, but he couldn't pass it on to us until he went through the cross and paid the price and the penalty so we can access the will and inheritance and better promises. In the Old Testament, maybe you are sick and then you pray for healing. In this New Testament, you believe for divine health. You don't wait for money here and there, check to paycheck, pray for financial breakthrough. No, this time you have divine prosperity. All this was secured by the cross. So don't settle for good when you can have God's best. The cross tells you, don't settle for less when you can have good. Don't settle for good when you can have best. Is an amen coming there? Don't settle for rent when you can own your house. Yeah, that's where God is taking you. Anybody who be worried about something today, take what you are hearing. You pray that God will give you your word. It's your word that is coming. I said, it's your word that is coming. I said, it's your word that is coming. You have a new will, you have a new testament, you have a new agreement, you have a new inheritance in Christ. What your father or your mother cannot leave you. Some of us are father and mother, they are already gone. The person who can give us something is God. Are you there? So you need to look to him. My father is gone. He didn't. God bless his soul. He did his best. So you need to look to Jesus. Find out from the will. The will is the Bible. Coming somewhere, we discover everything that God has left us through the cross is in here, but we don't read it. They left you a will, and you don't read the will. How do you know what is inside the will? And you're going around us becoming a prayer project everywhere. That's the story of many Christians. You can call the Bible from when you look at it. It's your will. Is the will of God for you. Is his will for you. His promises are in there. His will of healing, deliverance, this is in there. But we are not reading it. I write a check for you and I say I've written a check. And you didn't check the amount. You just left it hanging and say, Bishop left me something. He gave me something. You just keep confessing. He left me something. Then the date when the thing expires, then you find it. And it was £10,000. But he didn't open the check. We will open our checks. I said, we'll open the book. I said, we shall open the book. A will is enforced when the one who wrote the will dies. Guess what? He died and he got up from the grave to enforce the will. So nobody can change, nobody can deceive you, nobody can steal from you. He died and he rose from the grave to enforce the will. That's the difference between our faith and other faiths. The tomb is empty. Every other faith, their leader's bones is in the grave where it was buried. But go to the tomb, he's not there. And the song we sang, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. So that situation you came here with that you are battling with, I said, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the grave, that same spirit will raise you from your grave. Your amen is not coming quickly. The same. Many things don't make sense in our lives. That's why we need to walk by faith. You can't see it, but I need to believe that it is coming. He secured us walking by faith. Number three, before the cross, this is a good one. Before the cross, we were strangers and aliens. First time we went to America. When you're going through the customs, for those, I think it's not so now, so some of you have been spared. When you go into customs, there's a place called the American citizens, then there's a place called aliens. They call outsiders who are not U.S. citizens aliens and boldly declared aliens. They've changed it now. When they didn't see it this time, so some people complained. Maybe they heard my message. But that's who we were before the cross. who were aliens and strangers to God. Who were aliens and strangers. So before the cross, we were strangers and aliens, far from God, with no relationship with God. But after the cross, we have been made nigh or brought near to him by the blood of Jesus. Before the cross, we were aliens and strangers, far from God. But by the cross, we've been brought near. Is amen there? See, I've been brought near. See, I'm no longer an alien. I'm no longer a stranger. When you're a stranger going to somebody's house, you tiptoe, you take your time. You don't go boldly because you're a stranger. You're an alien. Amen. Everybody, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. You with me? Ephesians 2, 12 to 16. If you can put it on the screen, if we can all read it together. I want you to catch this. Ephesians chapter 2. This is what Easter is about. Let's read it together on the screen. Shall we go? In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in a world without God and without hope. Before the cross, we lived without God and without hope. Are you there? Next. And but now. Everybody say but. But. Say but now. Continue. You have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Is somebody getting the message? It's not the screaming of the pastor. I have no intention to scream. I haven't eaten today. I'm just teaching you to get understanding and walk in it. Before the cross, so when you meet people, they ask you about the cross, about all this Christianity, and say, why all this going to church and the cross? Why do people celebrate Easter? You must be able to defend your cross. I'm excited about the cross because before the cross, I was an alien. I was a stranger. Far away from God. But by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, God has brought me near to him. Mama, better, are they understanding what I'm saying? That's why you need to read the scriptures. Give me King James. At that time, ye were without Christ. I like that one, aliens. Let's say the aliens. Yeah, let's look at the aliens. Alien. Who wants to be called an alien? But that's what we were before the cross. We were aliens and strangers from the commonwealth. Listen, don't jump over words. Commonwealth, that means from Jesus has got common wealth. The wealth of God is common. All of us must enjoy the same wealth. It's a common wealth, but not many people are enjoying the common wealth. It's a common wealth for all of us must enjoy this wealth that is common. But because some of us are far from God, we are not enjoying this common wealth. You can be part of the common wealth that the king heads, but because you don't know your advantages, so you don't enjoy what you should enjoy. That's some people came out with the common where they say they want to be Republican, they want to be this, they don't want any more, whatever. It says some people say they say the common wealth, but the wealth is not being shared commonly. That what happens in the natural. But in this kingdom, if you know what is rightfully yours, the wealth that belongs to those who understand, I can also tap into the same wealth and enjoy kingdom. It's not reserved for a few. We were aliens, but we are no longer aliens. And the wealth of God is common to all of us. You can have the same car that person that you envy has. It's common wealth. Yes, you need to tap into it. Let's read it. Go. At that time, you were without Christ. So you see, you were without Christ. So if you are not with Christ, you are an alien. You are outside the common wealth. Like people who don't belong to the commonwealth. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and what? Strangers from the covenants of promise, having
no hope, and without God in the world. Let's continue. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off have been made nigh or brought near by the blood of Jesus, for he is our peace, who has made both one and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Please, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now lift your head. What he's saying here when he talks about having abolished the middle wall of partition between us. Now, before Christ, there's only one person called the high priest. Everybody say the high priest. Or you can say a senior pastor. The high priest, once a year, will go to the Holy of Holies where he can meet God. So he carries the blood of bulls and goats to represent the sins of everybody. Under the Old Testament, is the blood of bulls and goats that is the sins of people, but doesn't take it away. So as we go along, you'll discover it's the blood of Jesus that washes us clean. In those days, he just covers it. Every year, he'll take blood, bulls, and goats to represent the people's sin, and then he will come out. Now, he's the only one who goes to a particular curtain. If you read that thing, it says, having broken down them, there was a middle wall of partition or curtain, like those curtains there. The high priest or senior pastor will go beyond the Holy of Holies, and like this blue. So he'll go inside and talk to God and present the blood of bulls and goats on behalf of the people and himself. But the moment Jesus died, the curtain was open. The partition was torn into two. That is not the holy, the high priest who must go in there to pray for you. We all now, Lord, have access and can go and talk to God on our own behalf. You don't need any high priest. He's giving you access. The middle wall of partition was taken away. So anything you want to talk to God about, this is before the cross. Before the cross was a partition. After the cross, no partition. Go talk to God anytime. In the kitchen, you don't need to kneel down before you pray. You don't need to bow down. You don't need to. God is everywhere. Just take any position you want and talk to him. You don't need to kneel down. Except you want to kneel down at the altar. That's it. Or in your home. Are you understanding? The middle wall, the partition has been removed. And all this happened after the cross. So nobody is superior. Nobody's prayer is superior to your prayer. Nobody's going to hijack your destiny and say, if I don't pray for you, you are finished. Unfortunately, across the body of Christ, Christians, some Christians, no, are just lazy. But that's not you. So this evening, talk to him. Hello? Sit in your chair and talk to him. The partition has been broken. Talk to him like we are talking. He can hear you in any position. Amen. Number four, before the cross, people were blessed only when they obeyed the law. Before the cross, people were blessed only when they obeyed the law. And if they fail to obey the law, they die. Things have changed, though. Thank God for the cross. Before the cross, people had to obey. If you read Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1 to 14, look at the things we must obey and the blessing. From verse 15 to 66, those are the laws that everybody tried to obey, and it didn't happen. And in those days, if you don't obey the law, you die. Let's read that. Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 20. It says, seeing I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse, the blessing. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you obey, you'll receive the blessing. And the curse, if you don't obey the commandments of the Lord, but turn aside from the way that I'm commanding you today. In those days, if you don't obey the law, you are cursed. But in this day, after the cross, we are blessed. Not because we did something, but because we have been redeemed. In those days, you obey, then you are blessed. If you don't obey, you are killed. Jesus came to abolish all that, to ensure by his redemption we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And we enforce the blessing by walking by the way. Are you understanding? There's no longer do's and don'ts, do's and don'ts. You do everything out of love for God. So if I don't do it, he'll kill me. If I don't do it, this will happen. So very soon we're coming to where before the cross, people had sin consciousness. But after the cross, people have what? Righteousness consciousness. The cross is what made the difference. People are always thinking, I've sinned though. Anything happened to the people in the Old Testament, they always think, maybe I've done something. And still up to today, there are many Christians who have that kind of mindset. Things are not happening. Maybe it's a challenge and a trial God is taking them through. They attribute it to something their father did, or maybe something they did, or they didn't say hello to somebody and God is punishing them. See, their mindset. That's why we must stay in the Word. Before the cross, you obey to get the blessing. After the cross, God redeemed us. Galatians says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He took our curse, being made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon what? The Gentiles. So this time you're not doing it by force or by what? What's the word? By coercion. You're doing it out of love. Knowing that it's not just what you do that brings. You are blessed already and you are doing things to keep the blessing flowing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Everybody say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm blessed. Say, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. So the things that the blessings Abraham enjoyed, we must enjoy. Say, amen is coming. Number 5. Before the cross, before the cross, it was curses, 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 curses. Judgment, judgment, judgment. After the cross, it's blessing, blessing, blessing. Before the cross, see, that's the joy about God. Before the cross, it curses, cursing, curse, 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 everything, curse, curse. After the cross, it's all promises, promises, blessing, blessing, which must what? Receive. Is amen there? 2 Peter 1:2. According to us, his divine power. Watch this. After the cross, according as 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He said, according as his glory, according as his divine power. Jesus has made provision for everything you are looking for. According as his divine power, the Spirit of God has already given us all things. There's no shortage in the kingdom. The shortage is only in between people's ears. There's a lot of money on this planet. Oh. Money is not in shortage. It's just in a few hands. Who know? And it says grace. It says through the knowledge of him that I've called, it's through knowledge that we can access these blessings. Through knowledge, 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 knowledge. That's why teaching is important. Everybody say he has given us all things. But how will we access it? Through, read it, listen. According as his divine power has what? Is that past tense or present tense? Has already what? Given us what? All things that what? Pertain to life and what? Godliness through of him that has what? Called us to glory. He's called us to glory, not shame. Through knowledge, we access all things. Through knowledge of the word, we access all things. Through knowledge of the word, we access. If I don't know the word, I can't access all things. He's telling you how to access all things. Through knowledge. So I need to read this thing to access what he has for me. The cross gave us access to all things. All things. Not some. All things. Did I hear the amen? Number 6. Have you been able to write the points down? Before the cross, God was distant and unapproachable. Before the cross, God was distant and unapproachable. We couldn't approach God directly, like what I said about the middle wall of partition. Only the high priest could go in there. But after the cross, Ephesians 2, 13 to 14. Ephesians chapter 2, 13 to 14. After the cross. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus, for he is our peace. You saw that earlier? He's brought us near. He's brought us near. God is not far away from us anymore. God is as close to you as you are close to him. Say, I've been brought near. Say, God is approachable by me. Say, I can approach God. Yeah. By the cross. Yeah. By the cross, you can approach him. Shout hallelujah. And men of God, pastors are there to teach you your inheritance. They are not there to point you to them, to call them all the time. No, they are there to show you what they also know. That's why he said, train them, show them the way. I'll give you pastors after my own. I will feed you with wisdom, knowledge, and pastors must teach the members everything they know so they can stand on their own 2 feet and do stuff. Are you understanding? That's the job of pastors. Not to say, you know, if you don't call me, you won't get answer to prayer. There's no middle wall of partition. Pastors are there. It must, their ministry is vital, but it's more to do with what? Teaching you, training you, giving you understanding, equipping you to win and go out there and make a difference with the same knowledge that they have. Amen. Before the cross, we can write number 6 down. Before the cross, man had sin consciousness. Everything, when he opens his mouth, is all about the sin I've committed, the sin I've done, the thing I've done. I don't know whether God is happy with me. I'm not too sure. Maybe I did something. But there are different kinds of sins. Sin of commission, sins of omission, known sins, unknown sins. So, before the cross, man's thoughts was all about sin consciousness. Maybe I've done something. Maybe God is not happy with me. But after the cross, God gave us the free gift of righteousness that we can now have what? Righteousness consciousness. Before the cross, man had sin consciousness. Anything evil that happened to him, he attributed it to his sins. Number 8. Before the cross, it was thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. After the cross, it is I will bless. I will bless. I will bless. I will bless. Before the cross, it was thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And Israel couldn't obey it. Moses went to the hill to collect the tablets to come down to give to the people. By the time he came, they have turned the high priest into a they have converted the priest into a fetish priest. Yeah. And used the gold to create a calf. How a pastor can backslide under the influence of people. Yeah. Merry-go-round. Before the cross, it was thou shalt not, but Hebrews chapter, we need to see Hebrews chapter 8, man. You need to see Hebrews 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8 to 12. Are you getting something? Hebrews chapter, you see, when you catch this, when you have time, this tomorrow is a holiday, Sunday after church, after you have eaten plenty and your stomach is weak. Sit down and go through these notes. Amen. If you take away, just be chewing some here. And go, I'm telling you, take time and get this. Hebrews chapter 8, 8 to 12. It says, but God found fault with the people and said, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel, with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with them, with their ancestors, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them. This is the new covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. watch this. I will put this time, the laws is not on tablet. He said, I will put the laws in their mind and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor and say to one another, know the Lord. Because they will all what? Everybody now will be able to know him. They will all know me from the least of them to the greatest. So in this kingdom, if a child wants to learn, he can learn. If an adult wants to learn and know God, they can know. Are you getting something? Number what? Number 9. Before the cross, Adam's sin meant condemnation. Before the cross, Adam's sin meant condemnation. Adam's sin condemned every human race. Adam's one mistake that Adam did affected everybody. The good before the cross, Adam's sin meant condemnation for all men, judgment for all men. Because of one man's sin, Adam, condemnation came to all. Guess what? After the cross, by one man's righteousness and obedience through the cross, righteousness was incurred on and put on all of us. Before the cross, Adam's sin meant condemnation for all men, judgment for all men because of Adam's sin. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, he said, therefore, as one trespass or one sin led to condemnation for all men, so today, as a result of Jesus' act of righteousness, everybody received life. One man's sin led to condemnation, one man's righteousness leads to freedom for us. That's why in Romans 8, 1, says, therefore, there is now no more condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No more condemnation. From Adam's sin, all of us were condemned. Romans 8, 1 now says, there's no more, so don't feel condemned. That's the good news about the cross. If you miss it, ask God for forgiveness, turn, and then go for it. Other than that, as for the enemy, his job is just to remind you of all the mistakes. You're just there, and he keeps reminding you. That's his job. He's the accuser of the brethren. To remind you of things, even things you didn't do. And convince you did it. So you use 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And what? Clean us of all unrighteousness. It's a new day for you. I said it's a new day for you. I said it's a new. Number what? The difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is Jesus Christ. The difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is Jesus. The cross. His blood. That's the difference. Old Testament, all got to do it. The law and the prophets, law and the prophets. But in the New Testament, Jesus is the one who has made the difference. In the Old Testament, they needed blood of bulls and goats to redeem people. Guess what? Jesus has shed his blood once and for all. You don't need any more bulls and goats' blood. One blood Jesus shed that has solved all the problems. So you don't need to go and offer any more blood sacrifice to Kankanyami and anybody in the village. You know, there are people who say, go and bring a chicken, go and bring this. No, no, Jesus has sorted that outcome. So don't listen to that garbage. Did I hear amen? You know, things are not going well for you in London. I was watching a little clip of a guy, Ghanaians in Amsterdam or something, and the guy says he's suffering, and when he sends money to Ghana, people chop it, and he called, you're shouting on the train, telling them to spend the money properly. Sometimes they call you and say, things are not going well for you in London, so send some money so we'll buy chicken and goat and then shed blood. This gives you the understanding that no more blood of bulls and goats. Jesus has sorted it out once and for all. So anyone watching that is being told to send money to buy, and the chicken must be red with the red neck or brown, and then they're scribing, you know, they are chopping your money. send them this message. Christians need to have understanding. You know, that's why I'm taking my. I'm not rushing. I'm not sweating. It's step by step line. When you understand, nobody can cheat you again. Yeah. When you understand, he said, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry? By how much also he is the mediator of a better. He said, it's called a better covenant, established on better promises. Jesus shed his blood. Shout a better amen. Tell your neighbor, I won't be deceived anymore. Say, I will not be deceived anymore. In Jesus' name. Then, let's take one more. Before the cross, we serve God according to the law. After the cross, we serve God by faith. Before the cross, it's all law, law. Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that. There was no relationship between us and God. It's just like when we were growing up in Ghana. Or the only time you hear your father's voice is when he's about to kill you. Because the mothers give the impression. Why when they do something, they don't deal with us. I don't understand. Maybe although the way they to give birth to us, so they don't when Michael, did you get Pastor Mike, did you get a few lashes here and there? Kezia got away with it. Well, I'm going to give Kezia. I'm going to it's you know, you do, when mothers, children get away with murder with their mothers, where we're growing up, some, my wife, she'll go and cause havoc and go and hide behind her grandmother. And then when her mother comes to come and be, hey, leave my grandchild alone. It's just like what I do to him as well. When Baba, they will do something, and then that's before. Now he has mellowed. He's going to do something to Baba. Hey, leave him alone. Leave him alone. He looks at me. I'm sure you meet the boy at home or something. When we're growing up, when you do something, instead of the mothers disciplining you, they'll tell you, wait till your father comes. You wait when your father comes. You wait till your father comes. So the impression all of us had about fathers, that's why sometimes we can't relate. They burnt our brains. That's why sometimes we can't relate to God properly. Yeah. Africans, most people don't like authority. They can't relate right to authority, pastoral authority. Because of all they knew was, this father that is coming, this postponement of my punishment, this man, when he's coming, I'm finished. So as soon as you hear him whistling, and some of our fathers, they whistle when they are coming, so this whistling is for me. So the impression that we have of fathers is punishment, punishment, punishment. So when we hear about God, we think he's like that. But he has reconciled us back to him. Yeah. He's reconciled us back to him. We now have access. So that's why in closing, Hebrews 4:6, he said, come boldly before the throne of grace. You know, when I was growing up, I don't know what my son, I didn't even see my father too much. So I remember when my son is greeting me, my son comes to our house. He said, Father, and when he's going to come and then do my hand this way, we'll do this. Me and my father, do this. That's why we need to renew our mind so we can do the same. When our grandson and grandchildren come in our house and they're leaving, they say, love you, granddad. Recently, our daughter has started, granddaughter has started for handsome granddad. And what do you call him? Pretty grandma, when we're growing up, nobody call anybody that. You calling your father handsome, from where? That's the same mindset that's what we bring into the kingdom. So we need to start renewing our mind and go to your God and say, handsome daddy, handsome for life. Power Debo calls God Papa, daddy. Daddy said. Not everybody has that kind of relationship, but we must start developing it with understanding of the cross. Don't be afraid. You go into your bedchamber, talk to him. He's your father. He said that's what we call him, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. There's a time for discipline, and most of the time, relax in his presence. Talk to him. That issue, he's concerned. He knows the number of hair on your head. Talk to him. There's nothing too big for God, and he will not fall off his chair. Of any problem. You did that? Shocking.
No, there's no such thing. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Nothing shocks God. He's been shocked too many times before now. He's a self-existing God. He's, you know, including Satan who left with one third of the angels. So he was not shocked. He just told Michael, kick these people out. It's the same with your case. There's no close case with God. Understand that before the cross and after the cross, things have changed. You have access. Give him praise. You have access. Lift your hand and let's thank him for the cross. Thank him. Thank him for the cross. Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you for these benefits. My attitude towards the cross changes from today with my understanding and revelation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross so to set us free and give us a new beginning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for your people. Any prayer request, any heart desire, any prayers they have prayed secretly, any anxiety, any worry, any sickness, any disease, any financial situation, any problem that they're going through, that they've spoken to you about or are presenting to you now, Father, we engage the cross. We engage the cross. We engage the cross. We engage the cross. Let toiling cease. Let struggling cease. Let financial difficulties cease. Let sickness leave. Let the bound be loose. Let the oppressed be set free. By the finger of God and by the cross, in the name of Jesus, all the benefits of the cross, we receive them now. We appropriate them now. We appropriate them now. We appropriate them now. Give everyone under the sound of my voice testimonies. Testimonies. Testimonies, 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 testimonies that they will attribute to tonight, Good Friday service, that the cross brought them this victory. Let no man or woman in this room or watching online, let them not remain the same. Give everybody a testimony that they will testify about. We seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus. Declare it done. In Jesus' name. In every area of the body of Jesus, the 39 stripes that they received that represents the 39 major diseases on the planet, any sicknesses in our body, online and in the house, we decree that the full benefits of the cross heals all diseases now. In Jesus' precious name, everyone said a big amen. You are watching online or you're in the house, you want to say on this Easter Friday, I want to submit my life to Jesus. Lift your voice and pray this prayer. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe you sent Jesus to die on the cross. I confess with my mouth and accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. This marks a new beginning in my life. It done in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you submitted your life to Christ or rededicated your life to Christ, as 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you will grow thereby. Like you have heard through the word we grow and start walking in all the benefits God has secured for us through Christ.